Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be here. My name is Colm O'Brolichon, and I'm originally from Dublin, now living in Roscommon, and I went to school down the road here, but we won't talk about that. And I married Catherine, and she went to the school over the wall.
Yeah, I'm a Sign Hill girl. Hey. So we heard when Simon actually emailed OM to find out, you know, who'd come, we thought, well, the Lord obviously has it. We have to come back to our old stomping ground. Yes. So that's one of the reasons why we're here. But we're absolutely passionate about missions. And we joined OM for a year. Yes. In 2008. We moved our family. We were living in Westport. And we moved our whole family to Roscommon. And I work in personnel, and also I work for, we have a pastoral team now because we have quite a few people on staff. And I do a lot of cooking when we have teams come to Ireland and they're going to go out and outreaches. I'm the one who keeps them full of food. So what do you do?
What I do is that I'm involved in maintenance, and that means everything, right? Lacken House is 5 acres. It can sleep approximately 60 people. And I also drive a big red bus that we have as a mission tool. And I drive every other car we have as well. And I also maintain those. We have about 29 cars or something like that. So it's great fun. And we've just been given a houseboat as well. I'm also going to end up skippering that. So that's what I do. That's what Catherine does. But more than that, it's not about us. It's not about us. This is about God, and this is all about Him. And we can do what we like because He gave us free will. But He's asked us. He's asked us to do something for Him, to reflect His love, His glory, His compassion, and to make His name known and glorify it. So, if you'd open your Bibles with me in Colossians, first book of Colossians. So, the thing I want to read for you is from Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 6 reads, "The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours from the first day you heard it and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners." So what we'd like to show you now is like to show you a video of OM. So Simon?
OM is mobilizing for missions. Since 1957, Operation Mobilization has motivated people to pray, give, and go, to make disciples of all nations and to be His witness to the ends of the earth. Today, 6,100 people work in 110 countries and aboard the OM ship Logos Hope. Our heartbeat is to make Jesus known through evangelism, relief and development, church planting, justice, and mentoring the next generation. We need people to pray, give, and go in these 5 areas. Evangelism. Christ commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. OM's passion is for everyone to know Jesus and to understand God's will. Our short-term teams and long-term workers share God's love with those who've yet to hear. Relief and development. Christians respond generously to human need. OM brings help to the suffering and dignity to the poor. People find God when mercy and compassion are shown in His name. OM empowers believers in business to have a lasting kingdom impact in their community. Church planting. OM's goal is to establish healthy Christian communities with indigenous leadership. We equip groups of new believers to become self-sustaining churches that bring the gospel to their nations. OM serves the church by raising mission awareness, promoting global intercession, and encouraging radical discipleship. Justice. As God's people, we need to release the oppressed and speak for those who have no voice. Then we will truly see the gospel transform lives. OM works at all levels of society to increase awareness of injustice and to bring hope to the persecuted. Mentoring. Discipleship in OM is hands-on, training side-by-side on the streets and together on international teams. Faithful accountability strengthens us and accelerates personal growth. We run courses to invest in our people who go on to impact thousands of others every year. So, look at the world, look at your own life and ask, what can I do? Well, you can pray. People in churches grow as they pray. OM provides the latest worldwide prayer information through our magazine, on our website, and through personal meetings. God calls us to pray for the world. Will you join us? Or you can give. Giving allows you to make a difference and express God's love in a practical way. OM's extensive ministries and faithful workers are worthy of your support. We maintain high standards of accountability and welcome you to partner with the ministry that God places on your heart. You can also go. God can use your hands and your feet in mission, and OM provides opportunities that range from a few weeks to a lifetime. Just come willing to use your skills to bring hope and transformation. OM provides the first experience of global mission for thousands of people. God can use you to impact eternity. God has called us to partner together to do His will. What part are you going to play?
Right, as we said, Operation Mobilization, mobilize, equips people, share God's love, and bring hope to the world, and to strengthen and plant churches, like you said. And more than 3,000 people, like you see, serving from 90 nations, 110 countries. OM Ireland, in September, will have 75 people working in Lacken House in Rahara. And only four of those people will be Irish, right? So you have half of them here. So, and that's the way it is, right? What we want to do now is we want to talk about talk and pray for two countries, and those two countries are Russia and Tunisia, and so the first thing. First thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about Russia, right? So Catherine's going to talk about Russia.
Well, we were asked really to come and speak about what the Lord's doing internationally, and it's very hard to kind of think so global. So that's why we decided two countries, and why we chose Tunisia was because of what happened on Friday. We actually changed our presentation because of that, so we could pray for Tunisia. But Russia is a lot on my heart because the people that you see there, the Fitzgibbon family, I said I worked in personnel, but the Fitzgibbon family approached us. They're from Cork, just a couple in their early 20s. They had one little boy called Elliot, and they said, we really feel the Lord is calling us to Russia. We went, okay, Russia, let's look up what we're doing. What's OM doing in Russia? Oh, not only are we in Russia, we're only in Siberia. OM Russia is only in Siberia. So we thought, are you sure you want to go to Siberia? Kieran there, he felt a call on the Lord when he was about 8 or 9 to go to Russia. And when he finished school, he went to Trinity and he studied Russian and he studied theology. So it's always been on his heart. So God is so faithful to do that. So I just wanted to share their story because they're young, not long married, they had Elliot, and since they went to Russia in 2012, they have had two more children. So they headed off when most people are trying to settle down with their early family. God gave them so much courage just to leave it all behind and go. So Kieran is their IT support for the team there in Russia, and Kira part-time, obviously she's a mom, but part-time she does a lot to do with encouraging the Russian team that's there. Do you want to talk, or just what OM's doing in Russia?
Now, Russia, as I found out when I came here this morning, has 144 million people. 144 million people. And one of the other statistics about Russia, which is quite shocking, is that the average life expectancy of males in Russia is 60 years. 60 years. So I know that some of us would be gone if we were Russian, right? And that's a shame. Now, their main problem is drink. They drink themselves into the grave. And in Siberia, the life expectancy is even shorter. The life expectancy in Siberia is 57 for males. And Russia is a country in transition. Communism has gone, right? The West has come in. Capitalism has come in. They have lots of money, lots of resources. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, right? And what are their problems? Their problems are the same as every other country in the world. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, right? And like I said, drink is a huge problem. Drugs are also huge, right? Drugs are also huge. The United States has about 200,000 heroin addicts, right? Russia has 2.5 million heroin addicts, right? So you can see one of the reasons why the life expectancy is so short. What are we doing there in OM, right? The team in Novosibirsk is about 26 adults, as you can see, right? And what are we doing there? What we're doing there is we are training the Russians to evangelize the Russians. Because just like it's easy for me as an Irishman to talk to you, it's easier for Russians to talk to Russians because they're from the culture. They know what the things are. They know how it goes, right? The other great tragedy about Russia is that that the teenagers there don't come from comfortable homes with no cares. The teenagers in Russia come from no families where nobody cares. And it's a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge to find these people. And when you find them, lots of people are looking for these teenagers. They're looking for them as pedophiles are looking for them. And human traffickers are looking for them, right? All these young people, right? And they get into drugs and sex and everything and drink, right? And it's one of our big challenges to reach these people. And so that's what we're doing in Russia. And how we... Yeah, so one of the ways we do it is by running discipleship schools and Bible colleges for the Russians. So, Luke, do you show us the other video? So, the Trans-Siberian Adventure, part 2, and this is Novosibirsk, which is the capital of Siberia.
Just been looking at the amazing buildings of this discipleship training center here in Novosibirsk. Some of you have contributed to this, some of you pray for this ministry. Here we are inside the building at one of the offices, and we've been having a Bible study prayer morning. It's just so special to be here after all these years of reading about it and hearing about it. And this is Colin, who's the leader of the work in Russia. Praise God for your perseverance, your long-term commitment to make all this happen. How can we pray now for the work in Russia? What are the greatest needs?
Great needs. We see the number one need of training, motivating young people into mission. So I guess like anywhere in the world, maybe especially here, there are young people coming into the church, many from very difficult backgrounds, need a lot of issues sorted out in their lives, and we don't want them just to sit in the churches and get used to warming a pew. We want to be able to train them, equip them, let them find out where their gifts are and send them out into God's harvest field. That's our request, that God would send us the right people that we can train, give us the finances, the resources that we need to do that. And get
Is there any scope for internationals to come to Russia and help in this
Absolutely,
ministry?
Yeah, we've got a big GA program. You can come for 1 year, 2 years, you learn Russian, get involved with the students, live alongside them, pray for them, and there's many, many ministries going on as well here you can get stuck into. Evangelism with students.
Thank you, Colin. It's great to be with you, and we hope some of you will contact Colin. What's your website?
ru.om.org. Everything's on the site.
Yeah. God bless you. Thanks.
I just explained the older man on the right, as we were watching, would have been the founder of OM back in 1957, George Verwer. Just in case you didn't know who he was. what we're going to do is actually, we're going to pray now. Yeah, prayer points for Russia. We're going to galvanize you into prayer. What we thought we'd do is perhaps either split you up into pairs or into threes, and you can pray for these prayer points. The top one is Kira. I just discovered through Facebook that Kira has actually been in hospital, because I emailed Kieran saying, what are your, like, he's on the ground, what are the prayer points, what would you like us to pray, and got no reply, and I thought, oh, that's strange. Then I saw on Facebook that Kira's just out of hospital. She had some kind of, I don't know, acute illness, I don't know what it was, but she's home, so we could pray for her and the family. As I mentioned, we really need the Lord to help people to disciple Russian youngsters, and reaching out to, there's a lot, like Colm explained, a lot of marginalized groups. People, there's a very high number of people with AIDS, just that the Lord would work in those communities. There is a Russian church there, and OM is trying to work alongside the Russian church, so we could pray for that too. Okay, let's split up. And I'll close us then. Lord, we thank you, Father, for raising up people to pray for you, to pray to you, Lord, for the church in Russia. I pray for an outpouring, Lord, of your Spirit, that you bring many, many Russians to love you and know you and know, Lord, that you died for them. And they'll understand your sacrifice, Lord, and they'll share that good news, Lord, with the people they love. Amen.
Right, the next country we want to pray for today is Tunisia. And because of what happened on Friday, in Tunisia, we decided it'd be a good idea to pray for Tunisia. Thank you, Catherine.
Right.
I'm shy. Now, I'm particularly to pray for Cathy from County Meath, mother of two children who was killed, and then Larry and his wife from Athlone. I don't know what Larry's wife's name is. And those two are gone as well. There are three Irish people who were killed on Friday. I don't know. But this morning I understand that three Irish people have been killed. A husband and wife from Athlone. Husband and wife Matt Lone and Cathy from Robinstown in County Meath. So so what we want to look at is Tunisia, and after the attack, right, which has been claimed by the Islamic State. We are working in, OM is working in Tunisia as well, and Catherine's going to talk about that.
Tunisia Tunisia is actually one of the ancient places where Christianity first started. Tunis, the main capital, is actually Carthage of ancient times. So it has a long history of being part of Christianity. Obviously now, at the moment, 99% of people in Tunisia are Muslim, and there are 11 million people living in Tunisia. OM actually started its work there in 1986, so they've been there for quite a while, but there are very few people on the team there. They've actually split up. They work in three different teams, and so you can imagine life in a predominantly Muslim culture, and there's only maybe two of you or three of you. It's very different to where we work in Ireland. We can talk about God to anybody. We have a major team all located in one space. We have lots of support from people. But you know what? They're thrown back on being supported by the Lord where they are. But you can appreciate it's not an easy mission field to be in. So at the moment, as it says there, there are 11 planted churches. So there are 11 million people and 11 church plants. So it's on a very small scale what's going on. But the Lord is great. The Lord is mighty. And we're going to go to just on to the prayer, I think.
Yeah. Now, the prayer we have for Tunisia is praying for the relatives of those killed on Friday in the attack, right? And for all the injured and their families. Apparently, there's a big group of English and British people who've been going there, who were in that group. And we want also to pray for the organizers of the terror, the Islamic State, if they are, since they claim responsibility, right? We want to pray for them. We want to pray that they too would see the light and see that whatever they're doing isn't working, because it's not of God. And so we want to pray for the economic welfare of Tunisia, as tourism is absolutely huge. And if that gets damaged, right, the country may descend into further chaos, you know. So the other thing is that we would like to pray that any further plots will be thwarted. Anything else that these people, the Islamic State, or any renegades, because in Ireland we know what trouble the renegades cause, and any trouble that they will cause will be thwarted, and that that the Lord will reign, and that the Lord will encourage people to reach out and reach out and make His name known and show them the error of their ways. We don't know it all. God knows it all. And it's through His word that we know what He wants us to do, and His Spirit blessing us. So I'd like us again to divide up into groups. You know? Pardon? Two slides, right. Okay. So so the other thing is the supporting church plants and supporting the Tunisian Christians to lead, right? A bit like the Russians, right? We can get the local people to talk to the local people. It's excellent. So, and the distribution of the Bible and Christian literature. Tunisia, there is religious freedom in Tunisia, according to them, right? But if only 1% of you are Christian, are Jewish, are Shias, right? It's very hard for you to publicly distribute the Bible and Christian literature, and pray for that, right? Because it all has to be done covertly. So they have to be very clever. So pray for that. And the other thing is that since there are so few people, so few Christians there and Christian organizations, pray for that they can work together and that they have unity of purpose. And that since there are so few of them, that their relationships will be good, because they're working with the same people all the time. Relationships can get difficult. So that's quite a few things we want to pray for this time, but I'm sure you'll remember them. And Luke, you could flip over the two screens for us. All right. So if we gather in groups again to pray, and then in the end, I'll wrap up. Thank you. Father God, we do lift up this country of Tunisia to you, Lord, and all the chaos that's going on there at the moment, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that, Lord, when the dust settles, Lord, that they will seek what the truth is, Lord, what the historic evidence, Lord, of your saints being there, Father God, of your gospel being preached there, Lord, from the beginning. And Father God, we just pray that the Christian outreach groups who are there will be able to unite, will be able, Lord, to show your love, your compassion, Lord, to those who are injured, Lord, to even, Lord, to the local people who question why these things are going on and why it's a fallen world that we live in. Oh, Father God, we just lift them up to you, and we thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for having the freedom to pray. And we pray, Lord, that you will guide and bless the leaders of that country. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. So what about us then? What about us, right? What are we going to do? Now, for our organization, for OM International, there are actually 270 positions available around the world, anywhere you want to go. In how many countries was it? 110 countries. Short term, 1 week or 2 weeks, right? Okay. You could be a cafe hopper. If you like coffee, go to the cafes, drink coffee, talk to people, learn their language, and set up a relationship. And then tell them why you're there. You're there because the same reason why we're here, God sent us, right? And there are teaching English. There are jobs as occupational therapists or physiotherapists, helping the local therapists to see what the needs of the people that they are trying to treat are, right? And training the local people. That's it, passing on the information. So there are lots of positions available. And so like I said, there's no shortage.
We have actually brought OM Ireland actually publishes a magazine every 3 or 4 times a year, so it's there. I'd like some of you to take some home. That would be good. Please, if the Lord's moved you to think about doing something in mission, obviously there's the general OM website, and OM Ireland we have our own website. And then we have Facebook and all those things. So please like us on Facebook, and you'll see what we're going to do around Ireland, and you can pray with us. We put up prayer requests for various things. So that would be good too. But we pray really that the Lord blesses your church. He will empower you, I know, because it's his work and it's his church. So we want to thank you for listening to us and praying with us today. Amen.
So Catherine and I will be here after you leave. We'll be drinking tea and coffee and sharing the lovely biscuits. So if you want to talk to us, you can. And thank you for listening to us. And I do pray that the Lord blesses you, as he has and will continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.